Greetings, Book Eddie Bible Fellowship family. It's Brian and Bob for our weekly podcast here with you today. It is Thursday, April 16th. We're a day late. I'm not sure if that makes a big difference, but Brian, welcome. Good to see your smiling face here on Zoom. Would you be so kind as to open us with a prayer?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, and I don't think it's a big deal that we're a day late. That was to accommodate some small group preparation, and we'll get into that in a minute. So let me open us in a word of prayer, and we'll dig into what the Lord has for us this morning, this afternoon, in fact. Well, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for you. We're grateful that this is so fun. I get to see Bob. He gets to see me. We get to interact, discuss some things from your word, discuss some relevant things to the season that we're in with respect to Resurrection Sunday last week. What a glorious Sunday that was. What a glorious time it is. To worship you, to celebrate you, to really just exist with you and enjoy you and receive from you. I trust you've been doing that with so many of us here that are listening, and you continue to do that. And so we love you so much. I pray that you would speak through Bob and that you would speak through me throughout this meeting, throughout this podcast. And I pray that you would just lead us, Father. We certainly have an outline and a direction that we're headed, but this is very open to allow you, Holy Spirit, to work through us and to speak through us, and we greatly desire that. We want to real tangibly, real practically give you headship of this podcast. So we commit it to you. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. You know, you and I have been talking about this, but we originally decided to do these podcasts as a means to stay in communication with our family, our Book Eddie Bible Fellowship family. As we went into lockdown and isolation, we had the impression that people would start feeling very disconnected, and we would give them an opportunity, a means of actually staying in contact, communicating, asking questions. And so that was the whole idea behind this podcast.
Right.
And we've been exhorting people from the beginning to send in their suggestions, ask Bible questions, ask any kinds of questions, comment, refer back. And
feedback.
What's that?
Yeah, just give us feedback.
Exactly. What do you and I have kind of come to a conclusion about the results. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, sure. Well, it seemed, you know, to use your words from just, you know, a few moments before we started recording, is it seems that there's a general lack of interest. And that's obviously, this is from our perspective, and we're not perfect. We're not infallible. We're not, we haven't sent around a survey and surveyed the whole congregation. We're saying it seems like from our human perspective that the lack of, there's a lack of interest. There's not been a lot of participation. I've gotten one email with somebody that's asked one question. I've gotten two emails with two people that have given us positive feedback that they think we're doing a good job and that you and I work well together, which is really, it was encouraging. I mean, that is encouraging. I've enjoyed bouncing off of you, and I like the way this works. But there is work that goes into this. And like you said, the primary purpose was really, there's no other way to fellowship. People aren't being connected. People are going to feel isolated. They're going to need to hear from us, or at least they'll enjoy hearing from us. So go ahead and share some of your perspective, Bob.
Yeah, the silence has been deafening. I almost feel like I'm hearing an echo effect when for these podcasts, because we've exhorted everybody I've talked to. I've tried to exhort. I've done it in the Bible study groups. And so all that can happen is we're left with the impression that since there is no feedback, since there is no comments, it's not really something that is necessary or is desired by our congregation. And so we're starting to ask ourselves, do we need to continue to do these podcasts? Is there a point in doing these podcasts?
Right.
That's sort of where I'm coming from. How about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. And obviously the goal here is not to let's minimize the effort that Bob and Brian have to put forward. You know, we're absolutely willing to do this, and this is not incredibly demanding. It does take some preparation, some thought, some discernment, some planning, and some meeting. But, you know, I'm more than happy to keep doing this. I actually enjoy doing this. You know, I think this is kind of fun. But, you know, if it's just, you know, kind of for me and you and maybe one other person, you know, I'm not sure I need, you know, this added on. There's other things that I think could be more fruitful with that extra time. And some of that you're about to share with us, Bob.
Yes, I think unless we start getting significant increase in feedback or questions or suggestions for putting the podcast or Bible study, unless we start getting some sort of feedback, some sort of response, then I would say that it really, podcast really doesn't serve a necessary purpose. It's a device without a market at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously our goal here is to, as I just prayed at the beginning, I mean, we want to give the Lord headship over the podcast, headship over our ministry and everything that we do. So we're definitely not saying, you know, X number of people must respond or else this. We're saying we're going to continue to pursue the Lord, but we're sharing with you what we think that he may be directing us at this time. And so we're fully expecting God to either confirm or redirect as a result of this announcement time.
I think that's correct. Maybe we should do some, you know, really wild statements on this podcast and see if, you know, we can generate some interest. I don't know, you know, we could tell them we're going to change and we could all become Presbyterians or, you know, we're going to drop the Constitution. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it takes to generate the feedback that we're looking for.
Generate controversy, Bob.
Yeah, maybe we got to be controversial. Feedback. I don't know. But anyway, it's been fun doing this. But if it's a product without a market, then there's not much point in continuing. I know the small groups are now fulfilling a function. We've had now 2 weeks of a Wednesday small group at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've had decent participation there and it's worked fairly good. Been no major problems or flaws and the people have gotten into a rhythm and we're able to share some Bible study there. That's worked out real well. I know that James Fuller has just really worked overtime to get Microsoft Teams up and running for the Tuesday group. I think he's on the cusp of getting that set up, but we'll know about that in a day or two. But the small groups now are going, and maybe that's fulfilling the necessary need.
Yeah, it sounds like, and just again, a huge thanks to Jim. I mean, James Fuller has been putting in, dozens of hours on the phone with Microsoft and back and forth trying to set things up to get this Microsoft Teams. And the Microsoft Teams is just an alternative to using Zoom for those, and there are several in our congregation who would prefer not to use Zoom and would rather something else. And so James is working overtime to provide that. And like you said, I do believe we're on the cusp of having that work. I think, in fact, he's had it work a few times, but then ran into some additional problems that I think he's going to have weeded out for next week. So I think next week we'll be good to go. Both small groups totally functioning in a sense. It kind of seems like, Bob, this is my perspective. You can share yours. It kind of seems like now that the small groups are back pretty much up and running, that those are kind of meeting the needs that the podcast in its first few weeks were meeting instead.
We've had a couple of people, and I agree with that, Brian. We've had a couple of people ask about maybe moving the Wednesday Bible study so it doesn't conflict with a ladies' Bible study that's going on. So we're not sure yet, but we're looking at maybe next week drawing that on a Thursday, but we'll notify everyone if we're going to actually do that.
Right.
The Faith and Action Ministry is kind of lagging a little bit. We've had a few donations, not many. Lee Wisdom is still donating and giving out whatever he gets. He was able to give a small amount out to Daryl Isha's ministry, and he's going to be giving a little bit more out in the next day or two to Cañas Verde, to Pastor Bob Wilson's ministry. So we're still exhorting everyone to please continue thinking about those people that need the food, and if you can, bring your rice and beans to Lee Wisdom's house in Volcancito.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And Bob, I don't have much to add there. You've covered it well. We're not demanding everybody to get out. We're not demanding people, you know, obviously you've got a short, you know, a narrow window of time. And in fact, I was out today. I went out my windows in the morning. I'm from 7:30 to 9:30 and I needed to go to a business that didn't open until 9:00. And so I had 30 minutes to conduct my business and get home. And so I was in a hurry. And, you know, of course, my window is different and lots of things are not open at 7:30. Some are opening at 8:00, some are opening at 9:00. And so we understand There's difficulty there, but one thing that might make that easier, Lee did share on the first week, and I don't know that we've shared this repeatedly, but if you don't have time to wait in line and go get the beans and rice, I understand that's a sacrifice, and you see that long line, and you think, well, I can do without for a few more days. But he said he can also take the donations. He said, I believe he said that about $100 covers all the people that he's feeding for about a week, I want to say. Does that sound about right to you, Bob?
Yes, I think so.
So he's willing to accept donations, and then he'll go stand in the line, so you don't have to. And again, it's not just the Wisdom's ministry. It's going to be dispersed through a variety of the ministries that are sharing.
And if you need to contact Lee and do not have his contact information, his phone number is 6693-3058. 6693-3058, and he can give you more information after you communicate with him then.
Very good.
Ryan, any updates we need to talk about for the Sunday service?
No updates. It's pretty much the same. I think we've kind of, in a sense, mastered it, where we've kind of found the sweet spot of quality and size of the video and the upload to minimize any kind of lagging and problems like that. So the plan until we're back to normal is we're going to be recording on Saturdays like we've been doing, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. And this will be posted overnight on Saturday. So first thing Sunday morning, it should be available. And then, you know, for this foreseeable future. So anytime you want to have go to church at 8 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or at lunchtime, you know, it's totally available.
Okay. Well, since we had no feedback from our members, we decided on our own that we were going to talk today about the results of the resurrection, since we're right around Easter. Is that correct?
Yeah. And it sounds like, it's applicable to the time that we're at. And yeah, I mean, we didn't have any questions or any kind of response or suggestions. And so we're saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And so I believe the Lord's given us, obviously there's, you know, the whole Bible is results of the resurrection in a sense. The Old Testament prophesies it and the New Testament fulfills it. And so we could, you know, there's no way we can spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about results of the resurrection. And in fact, about a year and a half ago, I preached on this in a sense. If I remember right, I had 3 or 4 points on that sermon, and you know, that doesn't even come close, but here's the 3 or 4 points that I think God wanted in the sermon. Today, we've got 3 points that we think God wants us to share about. So in no way are we saying this is conclusive or exhaustive. It's just what God has for us today.
All right. So to begin with, the first point we're going to talk about is one of the results of the resurrection was to destroy the works of the devil. Lead us off there.
Well, sure. Well, you know, it really need to answer the question, well, what are the works of the devil? You know, what are these works? And I remember reading in a book some time ago, a few years back now, this analogy that showed, the analogy was Satan in a manufacturing plant and everybody working for him, and he's producing a product and shipping it around the world. And so it's just this crazy industrial process, and the product is sin. And everybody's kind of enslaved in a sense in the manufacturing plant. Everybody's working full time for him. And so the analogy is, you know, Jesus came and destroyed that. And also in the analogy, it's Jesus came and led a strike and enabled the workers to stop working. And he provided another path. He provided the option for us as believers to respond to God and to not work for the devil, to not be participating in that sin production on a universal, but certainly on a global scale every single day.
Yeah, and the results of that production plant, the product that's served out into the marketplace, unfortunately, the results can sometimes be seen by looking in the mirror.
Amen.
You know, who do we end up serving? And do we buy the products produced by the devil himself, which are many and can be seen easily throughout all our society?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, or not again, but in addition, you know, the works, it's not just sin. It's alluring us into sin, and it's the draw into sin, the temptation. I mean, they work overtime to get us to buy into it and to literally buy into it, not to, they don't say, in a sense, they sell it to us and we pay for it. I mean, we really do pay. There's consequences, and every one of us can testify to how sin has affected us in a sense, just like that. And so he's producing this product. He's selling it. He's doing everything he can to market it well and get us to buy into it. And he's succeeding on an, you know, on an incredible level. Obviously, we still sin. Those of us who have been regenerated, we're saved. We put our faith and our trust in Lord Jesus. That's not our primary focus. We're not in bondage anymore to that. Do we still sin? Absolutely. But it's a total different situation than the non-believer. Bob, what do you have to say on that?
Yeah, I would say that I would agree with that completely. I would think that the works of the devil, his production, are in overdrive at this point in our history. We're seeing things that 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, we would never dream of. I mean, right. It's woven its way throughout all our society. The works are everywhere. It's a virus that has not isolated itself. It has spread throughout all facets of society, from television to the internet to the newspaper to the leaders that we choose, to this, what society is willing to accept. From the horribly obvious things like abortion to the sinful private things we don't tell people about. Right. I think the devil's in overdrive, and it's an indication of the approaching of end times.
Absolutely. And for sure, we can't blame it all on the devil because, you know, as we've talked about extensively, and I think I even talked about on this past Sunday, Resurrection Sunday service, you know, we're not inherently good, and we kind of get corrupted by the devil. We're inherently bad, and our flesh naturally deceives us, and we naturally pursue after sin. That's normal for us. And so it's very abnormal for us to then not pursue after sin and not participate in the packaging of this product and marketing and buying into it. And so in many ways, what Jesus did, you know, when he destroyed the works of the devil, is, as 1 John 3:8 says, it says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In many ways, what he did there was he destroyed the bondage that existed there. The link, the chain is gone. We are no longer forced to serve as believers upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer forcibly serving Satan. Sometimes do we choose to serve Satan in our fleshly moments? Yes, we do. But by and large, that's not who we serve. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and our lives should model that. And we have the freedom to do that because he set us free. We're not in bondage to sin anymore. And so it's incredibly good news.
We're incredibly blessed. It's an echo to that 1 John 3:8, it comes from Hebrews 2. It says that through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And that's just a wonderful verse. And so we see this is an unbelievably positive and tremendous result of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. And like what you said there too, you know, the fear of death in that verse, I mean, that's the key to that verse almost, is the fear of death. Because without Christ, without what he's done, destroying the works of the devil, we have no hope. We do fear death. And now we can actually not fear death in a way that Paul says in Philippians. He says that to die is gain. How could we possibly say to die is gain if there was fear of death and if Jesus hadn't destroyed the works of the devil? But he has. And so he's removed that fear that the enemy used to kind of lord over us, in a sense, to keep us enslaved. So we have been set free. So praise God.
Praise God is right. The second result of the resurrection of our Lord is that he's been able, and he's now offered us a relationship, a personal, close relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is obviously, we spent, you know, a significant amount of time preaching on this, and so we're not going to spend as much time on this point as we did on the last one. But I would just encourage everybody to go back and listen to the Resurrection Sunday message from just, you know, 4 days ago. That's what this was all about, is Christ's pursuit of us, his desire to have a relationship with us. And, you know, one thing that I think is so important here, and I'm going to preach on this at some point down the road as well, is, you know, it's not just that we want a relationship with him, and it's not just him kind of opening the door so that we can walk through it and choose him and desire to have a relationship with him. But this reality is that Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, actually wants a relationship with us. And he's so excited to have a relationship with us. And so he's enabled this this somewhat scandalous in a sense, because I mean, it is scandalous that God would do what he did and that he desires a relationship with his creation. I mean, that's just ridiculous and it's radical. And yet that's where we are. And how blessed are we by that?
It's an amazing blessing. It really is. You know, he offered us his body and he put himself to death. He allowed himself to be put to death on the cross so that he could overcome death and the slavery of that and the fear that we have of death, and at the same time choose us to be in a personal relationship with him. The same way he chose his disciples, the same way he called his first apostles, he calls his family together, those that he chooses to come to him. We did not choose him. He chose us. And that's just a wonderful thing. I mean,
and beyond the choosing, you know, one way or the other, obviously we believe one way and we're okay with people differing on that. But choosing aside, you know, the point here that I'm emphasizing is the pursuit. I mean, he pursues you and he pursues me. He pursued me when I was lost. He's still pursuing me, even though I'm not lost. He's pursuing a greater intimacy, deeper fellowship with me. He's pursuing knowing me deeper and revealing himself to me on a deeper level. And that's just, I mean, it's mind blowing. And I shared some of my own testimony, some of my experience of basically being involved in religion most of my life and then, or half my life anyway. And then finally having my eyes open to this relationship with Christ once I came to college. I shared some of that in this past Sunday. What's been some of your experience with that, with as far as a relationship with Christ?
Well, my relationship is defined by election and predestination, which I'm going to go ahead and throw out because I'm not sure if we have a lot of people who are going to be upset. If we only have one or two people listening anyway, I mean, let's get into the controversial subjects and see if we can get some feedback and some kickback. But
sure.
I'm kind of just joking there. But seriously, for my own personal self, I had walked away from the Lord, not because I didn't believe in God, but because I didn't believe I had a snowball's chance of salvation based on a works theology that where you could lose your salvation day in and day out, depending on how well you sinned or how little you sinned or how much you sinned. And so 20 years later, with a successful family, a successful career, doing very well financially, the Lord just worked on me and made me miserable until I refer to it as he dragged me back, kicking and screaming. And I certainly wasn't searching for him. I certainly wasn't choosing him. I simply wanted the misery to stop. You know, I mean, there you are. You've got all of the earthly wants are taken care of and you're doing well and you should. I had friends who would tell me, what is wrong with you? You've got everything and you're miserable all the time. And that's a result of the Holy Spirit grabbing you and saying, it's time to come back to your Lord and Savior. Hmm. That's my personal testimony of what happened to me. And that's the relationship I could never have on my own unless Jesus was working within me.
Oh yeah. It's a beautiful, I know I've heard that several times now because you've shared that in small group different times and it's a beautiful story. I mean, it's a beautiful analogy or illustration rather of God's pursuit of you, of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus Christ literally pursued you as if you know, he left the 99 to pursue the one, right? And so there's you, the one over here wandering, and he leaves the 99. He comes after you very personally, very relationally, very intimately, and works on you. And those of you who know Bob is a tough guy. I mean, he's a stubborn guy. He's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. And so I can imagine this took the Lord Jesus Christ some time to work on you and bring you back.
Oh, if I remember back to that first year, I mean, I can only be amazed at the perseverance of the Holy Spirit. I kicked and screamed. I went back to the only thing we knew was the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church was completely unsatisfied, leaving church angry after sermon, after Mass on Sundays, after sermons that made no sense whatsoever. And this went on for a period of 6 to 9, at least 9 months, I would say, until I finally just couldn't take it anymore. And a friend invited me to my first Protestant church, non-Catholic church, where we heard the word and it just filled us from the first Sunday. I mean, the first Sunday in a non-Roman Catholic church was absolutely amazing, because both Dale and I felt like we had come home, and we knew nobody, we knew nothing else, but we knew that that's where we belonged at that point in time. So yeah, it was, I only imagine that I tested the patience of our Lord and the Holy Spirit continuously in extreme ways for that first 9 months that he dragged us back.
Praise God that he's so long-suffering. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He's so good.
Well, that's the relationship part. The third result of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior is, I worded it differently than you. You said...
That we have, because of the resurrection, we have assurance that we too will be resurrected. So Jesus was resurrected, we believe. I mean, the whole bedrock of our Christianity and our faith hangs on this truth that Jesus Christ was killed. He was murdered. He died. He actually died. Hebrews says that he actually tasted death. And so he did experience death. He was dead. He remained in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And he arose. He came back from the place that people don't come back from. He came back from death. He rose again. He was resurrected, and he is alive today. He's still alive, and he's never going to die again. And when he rose, he had his glorified body, which is something interesting we can talk about. And it's imperishable. It's uncorruptible. It's untainted by sin. It's unaffected by there is no sin. There is no flesh nature or anything like that. And so, because of him doing that, we have the hope that we, and by hope, I don't mean wishful thinking. I mean the confidence, the knowing. We know that this will also happen to us one day.
So a lot of things happen because of that. There's a lot of results. Death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Sinners are saved. Eternal life is available. Light comes to a dark world. There's all kinds of reverberations from that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, 15 different things we could talk about under this point that we won't, but the hope, I mean, we talked about, we don't have a fear of death anymore. And certainly, at some point or another, unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, which he very well may, but if he doesn't, we will die. And it doesn't matter how we die, but we're not going to experience the second death. And there's no possible death on this planet that can compare to that death, because that death is being thrown into the lake of fire and existing there in torment for all of eternity, which our brains can't even fathom. And we will not experience that. We will live in paradise. We will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And so that's what he's accomplished for us.
Amen. I mean, that it's a tremendous accomplishment. And so many things happened because of it. It was a huge rock that landed into a lake that sent ripples out that affected the entire world in unbelievable positive ways.
Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 says, knowing, not hoping, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. And so because Christ rose again, we know, we have confidence now that we also will be risen. We will rise again.
Yeah, I'm reminded of those verses at the end of Romans chapter 8, the future glory verses. They're just awesome, awesome verses. That nothing, we're more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Glorious passage. Well, so that's kind of all I've got here, Bob, on these. These are the three, and it's not I, this is all we have. These are not family that's listening in. This is not, here's conclusively all the results of the resurrection. We would be here for months talking about all the results of the resurrection. But these are some of the results, some of the more important ones that he put on the forefront of our minds to discuss today. So, Bob, what else do you have to say?
No, I think we've covered it. Again, like you said, we could spend a long time here discussing all of the repercussions and the great ripple effects that occurred from the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We could spend days discussing this, but I think we covered the three topics we wanted to.
Before we conclude, I would want to answer the question, kind of, how does this impact us? How should this impact us? And obviously there's all kinds of ways that this can impact us, but, kind of kind of to the point, the first point, you know, how does Jesus having destroyed the works of the devil, how does that impact us? Well, we're not a slave to our sin anymore. We don't have to give in. No, we're not going to be perfect, but we don't have to say yes to sin.
Yes. And not only that, but I come across, and this is a personal opinion, so take it for that. But in my personal opinion, I come across far too many Christians who claim our Lord and Savior who lack confidence. And it really, really bothers me when I see Christians who lack confidence. Confidence in their salvation, confidence in where they stand with the Father. Yes. I mean, we should have full and total confidence that we stand clean before the God of all creation, because we have the imputed righteousness of His Son and the work of His Son within us. And it just really just bothers me, Brian, when I come across Christians who just lack that confidence.
Jude, I'm reminded of Jude 24 and 25. Obviously, chapter 1, there's only one chapter. It says, "Now to Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." It's one of my most favorite benedictions that I've ever shared, that I've ever used. I mean, it's a glorious truth. I mean, we have confidence, we have assurance that He will keep us. He will ensure our victory because He has ensured it and purchased it on the cross in Himself.
Amen. That's all I have to say. Yeah. Well, not true. I do want to repeat what we talked about at the beginning. Where are you? I'm calling out to our members. You know, Brian and I want to hear back from you. We love you. We're interested in you. We want to be able to talk to you. We want to be able to answer your questions or talk about Bible subject that you want us to talk about. So please, if this podcast is something that interests you, and if it's not, that's okay. I mean, we understand. Maybe we're fulfilling the function through the Bible studies. But if you are interested in these podcasts, we do want to hear from you. We are interested.
Yeah, we'd love just a quick note, quick email, quick text message, nothing long, but just something that says, you know, I'd really appreciate you guys keep doing this. It's really ministering to me, really meeting a need, and there's going to be, you know, loss here if we stop doing it, because right now I don't believe that, and maybe that is true, and I'm praying actively, and I know you are too, that God would reveal that to us, either confirm or redirect kind of through these announcements and these sharings. So yeah, if this is meeting a need and people are really really receiving from this, we want to keep doing it. What we don't want to keep doing is kind of digging for how we're going to do it. We want this to be a deal where there's family participation. People are giving us some suggestions or maybe some ideas, maybe some questions, maybe some passages they'd like to have unpacked. That's kind of how, you know, this is a, I'd love to, you know, we want to answer questions and shepherd and teach. That's a lot of what this is about.
Thank you. Well, let's see. You opened with prayer, so you want me to close?
Sure. I think that'd be a good way. Let's do that.
All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we are here working on a podcast for our family, the flock that You've given us, and we love that flock, Father. We lift them up to You. We want the best for them. We want them to feel nurtured and supported during this time of isolation and lockdown, and so Brian and I lift our flock up to You, Lord. And in faith and in total confidence that You are going to bring us through this as You bring us through all things in this life. And so we ask You to rain down Your blessings on the members of Bocchetti Bible Fellowship. Help them with whatever their needs are during this time here in Panama. And we just love You, Lord. We love what Your Son has done for us. Here we are, the Resurrection Sunday time of the year, and it's just a glorious time. And so we thank You. We thank You for Your Son and for Your powerful presence of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.